ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். ஈஷாவாஸ்யமிதகும் சர்வம் யத்கிஞ்ச ஜகத்யாம் ஜகத் தேன த்யக்தேன புஞ்சீதா மாகிருத கஸ்ய வித்தனம் குர்வன்னேவேக கர்மாணி ஜிஜீவிஷேச்சதகும்சமாஹ ஏவம் த்வயி நான்யதே தோஸ்தி ந கர்மலிப்யதே நரே. So we mentioned in the last webinar that the first two mantras, they present in a nutshell the entire message contained in the Isavasya Upanishad. And in these two mantras, we mentioned that three important topics are discussed. Number one, the goal of the spiritual seeker is Atma Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam. And when Brahman is understood, then the world gets negated. That is, understanding the Karanam negates the effect, the Karyam. Just as understanding gold will negate the ornament, understanding clay will negate the pot. This understanding through the knowledge of Brahman is called inner renunciation, known as Vidvat Sannyasa, which is the goal of all spiritual seekers. So the first topic is Sadhyam or goal. Then two sadhanas or two lifestyles were presented. That is number the second topic. That is, the sadhana is a nivritti marga sadhana, which is nothing but a secluded lifestyle or the sannyasi lifestyle or a monk, in which one does not have any other pursuit except this inner renunciation. No relationship, no possessions, duties. So it is also called vividisha sannyasa, external renunciation and going away from society and all those things, leading a secluded life. And this is the difference between Vidvat Sannyasa mentioned earlier. So we saw up to this in the last webinar. Now the third topic that is introduced is Pravritti Marga or Pravritti Marga Sadhana or an active lifestyle or Karma Yoga, a social life of or a grahastha ashrama where the person has possessions, relationships, etc. That is what we are going to see today. That is seen through the second shloka. So the first shloka gave the first two topics, which we already saw. The second shloka we are going to see today. So the lifestyles, they are really only means, and inner renunciation is the end. That is a sadhya. As Krishna says, Yaha Sankyaihi Prapyate Sthanam Yogaihi Api Gamyate. That's what he told in Bhagavad Gita. You can be a sannyasi or you can be a grahastha, doesn't matter. What matters is, internally, are you free from all attachments? That is all the ultimate matter is. How to live? Karmani Kurvan Eva. Performing karmas, that is most important. How to live? Still be in the midst of active lifestyle. Then only you can spiritually progress. Now the question is, what type of karmas one should be pursuing? Here we talk about spiritual progress and not material wealth. So what type of karmas to be done is very, very important. Because Shastras talk about two types of karmas. One is called the Sakama Karma and another one is called Nishkama Karma. So what is Sakama Karma? Those which are predominantly Artha Kama Pradani Karmani. So wealth, name, fame, all those things, they are all called Sakama Karmani. And what is Nishiddha Karma? Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Shuddhi Pradana Karmani, they are called Nishiddha Karma. Those actions which are primarily meant for my inner growth, for my mental purity. Nishkama karmas also will produce material benefits. One should not think that Nishkama karma will not produce material benefits. They will also produce material benefits. But the prominence is not for material benefit. They are avantara palam. They are all byproducts. incidental phalam, whereas for sakama karma that gives lot of material benefits, they will also give some spiritual benefits, but only incidental. If nishkama karma gives 90% nishkama karma phalam, 10% could be material benefits, whereas it could be the other way for the sakama karma. So here, karmani, that refers to nishkama karmani in this shloka, in which I give more and take less. So in nishkama karma, I do more, I give more, and I take only less. And what are those karmas, if one asks? We have to go back to Gita 3rd chapter, where we have elaborately discussed the pancha maha yajnas. So, kurvanneveha karmani, that means what? Pancha maha yajnan pradhanyata kurvanne. Put lot of effort in doing the pancha maha yajnas, deva yajna, pitri yajna, rishi yajna, bodha yajna. All those things, they are all various yajnas that a person, manushya yajna, all these 5 yajnas are considered pancha maha yajnas, which a person is supposed to be doing every day. Deva yajna, in some form or the other, we do by worshipping to the Lord. Then pitri yajna, we worship our ancestors, do lot of shraddha karmas and pitri karmas, tarpanadis, and also give rise to good children, pitri karma. And Rishi Yajna is Pitri, the Brahma Yajna, that is to offer our gratitude back to the Rishis, because of whom we got the entire Veda mantras, and because of this entire tradition is built. And Manushya Yajna is, we are not alone in the society, we always draw upon from the society in so many ways that we should be always engaging ourselves in social service, helping people who are in need. They are called Manushya Yajna. And Bhuta Yajna, we have to be always sensitive about the ecosystem, the plants and the animals around us, because of which there is a harmony in creation, and we should be always kind and compassionate and be always sensitive to variations in environment, and also be sensitive in protecting the environment and all the other species in and around. So these are called Pancha Maha Yajnas. A person should be doing all these every day. That's what Shastras prescribe. So, may you spend the time in all these karmas. Then what about Sakama Karma? These Pancha Maha Yajnas, they come under the Nishkama Karma. What happens to Sakama Karma? It is not that they should not be there. Sakama Karma also should be there, because for living, we do require material things. Without material things, we cannot lead the life. Shastra never says Sakama Karma should not be there at all. Always people, desires motivate people to go further. Shastra talks about the proportion, which should be more. Whether it is the sakama karma that is more, whether your emphasis is only on acquiring wealth and fame and all that, or whether your emphasis is something else, which is spiritual growth. Our lifestyle should be such that initially it should be sakama pradhana. Because it should be, we need so many things in life, we need to progress in life, material things are needed, so we should spend more time in that thing, but gradually it should become nishkama karma pradhana. As we grow, we have got certain things, we have achieved certain things, that is good, so let me now put my time, spend my time on achieving better spiritual growth. And that is why one should follow the karma yoga. So Krishna says, Niyatam kuru karmatvam karmajyayo yakarmana karmanaham yajnyarthat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaham. That's what Krishna said. The entire 3rd chapter is based on this one shloka only. The entire 43 shlokas of 3rd chapter is only a summary of this particular, the second mantra of Isavasi Upanishad that we are seeing today. Okay. In this lifestyle, what is the advantage of Karma Yoga? For example, in a lifestyle which is Karma Yoga, what is the advantage? Nishkama Karma Pradhana life. He says, Nare Thvayi Evam Sati. Suppose you lead such a life, Evam Sati, if you lead such a life, Karma Yoga lifestyle or Nishkama Karma Pradhana lifestyle or Pancha Mahayagya Pradhana lifestyle, and Sakama Karma is less, if one does that, Nare here refers to as an intelligent human being, a viveki, a person who knows what is eternal, what is ephemeral. See, he knows dharma dharma, he knows all of them, in which a person gives more importance to spiritual growth than material growth, such a viveki. So between Shreyaha and Preyaha, when we are all born in this world, two paths are available for everyone. One is called the Shreyo Marga. Kathopanishad says this very clearly. Another is called the Preyo Marga. Shreyo Marga is a spiritual way of life, and Preyo Marga is a material way of life. Both of them are available for everybody. Shreya is given more importance. Preya is subservient. So it is not thrown away. It is given less important in case of people whose main interest is to advance in spiritual growth. Then what happens? Karma na lipyate. For such people, one will not be affected by various ups and downs in life. Karmas lead to various karma palam. Various karma palam will give rise to some of them good, some of them bad. So there could be ups and downs in life. So such a person will not go through that. The karma yoga will give a cushion to your heart. It's like a shock absorber. That ups and downs caused by the prarabdha. When we take this janma, some portion of our past karmas fructified gave rise to this janma. And in this janma, based on the past karmas, we will have ups and downs. And when you follow a karma yoga lifestyle, it will provide a cushion for us how to deal with situations which are hard otherwise to fathom. So every moment, the prarabdha is fructifying. Transit of Saturn, transit of Jupiter, transit of this planet or that planet, always something or the other is happening. So people always go after all these astrologers and all those people to find out what is wrong with me, what can be done for that, all those things. But once you lead a karma yoga lifestyle, all those things will not affect me. Their effects will be there. You cannot escape from that because prarabdha is such that it has to be exhausted. There is no shortcut for anyone to get out of prarabdha. One has to exhaust it only. But we will get a tendency, we will get a mind, a frame of mind that we will be able to deal with them, and the karma yoga lifestyle will provide that shock absorber to us. Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samobhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. That's what Krishna said. Karma na lipyate means what? You will enjoy a balanced mind, samatvam, yoga uchyate, a tranquil mind, a mind that is composed, a mind that is harmonious. For example, someone says, I don't like to follow the path of karma yoga at all. It is a lot of disciplines, because karma yoga is a lot of discipline. One has to follow a lot of discipline, because all those, it's all difficult for me. Is there any other method? If somebody would ask, the Upanishad very clearly says, anyata itaha na asti. Other than karma yoga, there is no other method of enjoying mental balance for a grahastha. For a grahastha, problems are always too many. There are always this problem. You first address this problem, immediately another problem springs up. Address that, something else comes. Sometimes parallelly many problems, sometimes serially problems. All those things are there for only a grahastha. How to deal with all of them? Other than karma yoga, there is no other method of dealing with all these. What is the reason? Because the karma yoga way of life closely involves Ishwara to support you. Because whatever actions we do, how do? In karma yoga, we offer it to the Lord, Ishwara Arpana Buddhya. So by an attitude of offering whatever action we do as an offering to the Lord, and when comes the time of getting the palam, we take it as Ishwara Prasada. So Ishwara is always associated, always involved in that. So actually, normally, whenever we do anything, we say this shloka, Agrata Prishtadaschayvam Parshadaschayam Mahabalav. Both Rama and Lakshmana, they both are supposed to be guarding me wherever I go, in front and in back. So Akarna Purna Dhanvanav. So Akarna Purna Dhanvanav means the bows, they have got it in such a way that it is always ready to be deployed. The string is pulled all the way up to the ear with the extended hand, raised bow, with the string pulled all the way up to the ear. The arrow is already in place. They are ready to strike at any eventuality, any enemy. That is how. So Rakshetam Rama Lakshmanav, the Rama and Lakshmana, they go in front and back of us whenever we are going in pursuing any pursuit. For a karma yogi, That's what happens. So Rama and Lakshmana are going in the front and back protecting you. So the Karma Yogi who is ever prepared. So no question of fear at all for such a person. So itaha anyata, other than Karma Yoga, anyata means other than Karma Yoga, there is no other method of mental peace. If you want mental peace, Karma Yoga is the best lifestyle. So from Karmi to Karma Yoga, I have already told what is Karmi. Karmi is just a person whose interest is always karma. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to achieve this, I want to achieve that. Always the selfish motive. All the time he does the same karma with such a motive. Whereas a Karma Yogi does the same karma to uplift himself and all, but with an attitude of Ishwara Arpana Buddhi and Ishwara Prasada Buddhi, or as a sense of duty without himself caring for the palam. Karmani yeha eva adhikarakate mapaleshu. He knows that very well, but the good results are byproducts for such an attitude. So with this, the second sadhana is also over. The second lifestyle, grahasthashrama, is also over. So two sadhanas. One is the first sadhana, the nivritti marga, sannyasi ashrama. And the second one is the pravritti marga, the grahasthashrama. With this, the Isavasya Upanishad is over. These are the three topics Isavasya wanted to discuss. We already mentioned in the very, very beginning. This is like a samkshepa slokas. These two capsule. The Isavasya Upanishad is over. Now on, only the elaboration of both these lifestyles with the common aim of Atma Jnanam, which is elaborated from Sloka 3 onwards. That is what we are going to see. So if somebody wants to only know Isavasyam in a nutshell, they are done. These two slokas are enough. But now, third sloka onwards, it is going to elaborate these two lifestyles. The Grahastha Ashrama lifestyle and the Sannyasa Ashrama lifestyle and the actual aim of the lifestyle. Shloka 3. Asurya namate lokaha andhena tamasavritaha tagaste pretyabhigachanti eke chatmahano janaha. So from the third mantra onwards, third mantra to mantra number 8, it is like the commentary on the Jnana Yoga or Atma Jnanam, which was introduced in the first mantra. So if you remember the first mantra, that dealt with Atma Jnanam or Parabrahma Jnanam. So that was introduced there. This is a commentary for that. And from sloka number 9 to 18, that will be the commentary on the second mantra which we saw just now. So this is the format of Isavasya Upanishad. Now Atma Jnanam, what is the nature of Atma? That is being talked about, which one has to know. And before that, the Upanishad wants to glorify Atma Jnanam, because only then people may take interest in it, right? So Atma Jnanam Mahima. If I don't know how glorious is Atma Jnanam, I may not be interested in it. So Upanishad takes care to first show how glorious is Atma Jnanam. Here the Upanishad is using an indirect method of glorification. It does not directly say Atma Jnanam is glorious. It criticizes an Ajnanam. Instead of saying Atma Jnanam is great, it criticizes Ajnanam instead of glorifying Jnanam. This is called Nahi Ninda Nyayaha. This is in Vedanta. This is called Nahi Ninda Nyayaha. It is a rule by which one is criticized to glorify the other. So, Ajnana Ninda for what purpose? Jnana Stutyartha. To glorify Jnanam, they do Ninda of Ajnanam. And to criticize Ajnanam, the Upanishad criticizes all the Ajnanis, all the people who are ignorant. Instead of criticizing ignorance, it criticizes the people who are ignorant. How it is done? All the Ajnanis, they will travel from one loka to another loka and suffer the pangs of samsara. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janare, jatare shayanam. As a monkey which jumps from one tree to the other, they will be traveling through all the 14 lokas. This is the essence of this particular mantra. Ajnanis travel in these 14 lokas is what is discussed here. But that is also presented in a peculiar language. Upanishad would have just given it straightforward. But it gives in a peculiar language so that we have to understand the language of Isavasya first.
For that, we cannot directly understand ourselves. We have to go to the mercy of the commentators like Adi Shankara. So he does not use the word Ajnani at all. A different word it uses. Ajnani is defined as the killer of Atma. Atmahanaha. Instead of saying Ajnani, he is called here as Atmahanaha. The very word Atma killer, that itself will be confusing to us. Why? What have we heard about Atma in the Bhagavad Gita? There we said, Najayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuyaha ajonityam shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire. That's what we heard. Now the Upanishad, Atma cannot be killed. That's what it said already. Now the Upanishad says, Ajnani is killer of Atma. How? Shankaracharya comes to our rescue, explaining every word of this shloka. The more and more a person reads the Bhashya of Shankaracharya, more will be the reverence for such a great teacher. That is the greatness of Adi Shankaracharya. More will be the reverence for him. In fact, his real contribution is the Prasthanatraya Bhashya. Prasthanatraya means the major Upanishads. He gave commentary on 10 major Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutra. So the Upanishad, Brahma Sutra and Bhagavad Gita, all these three are called Prasthanatraya. And for that, the Bhashya, the Acharya has written, Acharya used to tell, each time one reads the Bhashyam, each time some new thing always comes. That is the Mahima of that Bhashyam. So understand that one should read that actually completely. Otherwise, one will be thinking that, you know, Kanakatara, Stotra and all other things is what Adi Shankara did. Because wherever there is a miraculous effect, people normally get drawn towards that. But whereas the real knowledge, what the Acharya has unearthed from the Prasthanatrayas, that is unbelievable. It's a very great job. So Shankaracharya says, ignorance of Atma is as good as destruction of Atma. So Atmahanaha, destruction of Atma means what? Ignorance of Atma is as good as destruction of Atma. Atmanaha ajnanam atmanashaha. How do you say so? It is a figurative expression. Shankaracharya, he justifies by saying, anything destroyed will not be useful to give me any benefit. If you take, even in practical life, anything that is destroyed will not give me any useful benefit at all. For example, a destroyed food cannot quench my hunger. Food is destroyed, cannot quench my hunger. Similarly, an object that you do not know, you are ignorant of, you cannot get any benefit from that object also. For example, there is a fruit in a basket that you do not know. It is of no use to me since it will get rot and get only spoiled with no use to me. From this we come to know that an unknown object is as good as non-existent. From my angle. See, this is Vedanta is very tricky. The way we have to approach it is logically in a particular way. So an unknown object from my point of view is as good as non-existent. So for every ignorant person, Atma is as good as non-existent. So what is important is here? As good as. Not that it is non-existent. It is as good as non-existent for him because he doesn't know. So when Atma is as good as non-existent, to an ignorant person, he does not derive any benefit out of this Atma. What is the benefit? Aham Purnaha Asmi. Aham Triptosmi. Aham Brahmasmi. He is not able to say because I have not recognized that benefit derived from this Atma Jnanam. So Purnatvam, Nityatvam, Shuddhatvam, Moksha, I have lost which are all benefits derived from Atma Jnanam. I don't have any of them at all. Therefore, what have I done? I have killed the Atma. That is how figuratively it is put. When he is called Atma killer, this is how Atma is killed, as it were. So, every Ajnani, every ignorant person is called Atma Hanaha. Atma kill, Atmanam Hanti, iti Atma, Atmaha, te Atma Hanaha. So the one who killed the Atma. So once a person is ignorant, What is his lot? He is going to take himself to be what? The body-mind complex. He will not know that he is Atma Swarupaha. He will think that he is the body, he is the mind. So consequently, he will take himself to be Karta and Bhokta. Karta means the doership and Bhokta is enjoyership. That's what he will think. Then I take to Punya Papa Karmas. Because he is a Karta, he will get Punyam or Papam based on the nature of karma he does. So he will get Punya Papa. Then what happens? Vasamsi Jirnani Yata Vihaya Navani Grinati Naroparani. I don't know where will I be in my next Janma. He has to take another birth. That Janma can be a human birth or any birth. Nobody knows. Whether the children will do Tarpana to me, Shraddha to me. He has to be afraid, worried about all that. Because he has to worry about what gati he is going to get. Unless these children are doing these things to me, what will happen to me? He will be worried about all those. These worries will come for the traveling person. Who is the traveling person? Traveling from one Janma to another. Once I know, I am not the traveling I, but I am the Atma which never travels. I do not have any relations at all. I am Nitya, Shuddha, Bhukta, Mukta, Swabhavaha, Atma. Who is going to worry about the other people doing Shraddha and Tarpana in this case? Who is going to worry about them? None. Because he knows he is Atma Swarupaha. That is why for a Jnani, only a Samaradhana is done in our culture. All the sannyasis and these great acharyas, when they die, they don't do any Shraddha karmas. They do only Samaradhanas for them. No Shraddha. Therefore, do you want to travel to various lokas, all the 14 lokas you want to travel, expecting the Shraddha, Tarpana and all from your offspring, children and all those things to give a good gati to you? Or do you want to be independent and then get moksha? That is the question. So do you want to discover that Aham Brahma Asmi, not bothering about any of these things? So he says, Atmanaha Janaha, Atmahanaha Janaha. Suppose you are an ignorant person of the self, what will happen to you? Acharyas, Upanishad says, Than Abhigachanti. Than means the 14 lokas. Bhuhu, Bhuvaha, Subaha, Maha, Subaha, Janaha, Tapaha. So all up to Satyalokam. All those lokas above. And all the 7 lokas, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Patala, all those 7 lokas. So 7 plus 7, 14 lokas, they can do sanchara in all of them. This birth in this loka, next birth in some other loka, all that they can do. When this will happen? Pretya. Pretya means, so Than Lokan, they will go to all the 14 lokas. When? Pretya. Pretya means Marana Anantaram, after death. Because they think they are the body-mind complex. Therefore, the mind has to travel. So, takes another body and exhausts prarabdha. Actually, all these things I have described in my other lectures. For people who might not have come for them, I will just briefly tell. When a person dies, only the gross body dies. We all have 3 bodies. Gross body, the body that we see, the sthula shariram. Then subtle body, which you don't see, they are 17 in number. The 5 jnanendriyas, sense organs, the 5 organs of action, karmendriyas, pancha pranadeha, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, and mind and intellect. All these 17 are called sukshma shariram, subtle body, and there is a karana shariram, the causal body, which is the cause for these 2 bodies. So when a person dies, only the gross body, sthula shariram alone dies, and that is cremated or buried, and the sukshma shariram, which has the mind in it, that has all the vasanas of all the karmas that we have done in this Janma and in also all the past Janmas, that leaves and travels. Because that has to go in search of another tenement, another body, so that it can exhaust the Punya Papa karmas that it has. For exhausting the Punya Papa karma, it needs a medium. So another body is needed. So it goes and travels, all supported by Chaitanya. It goes in search of that, and that is how this subtle body goes on from one Janma to another Janma to another Janma. So that's what is going. So it is going to travel to all these lokas. So Atmanaha Janaha, the ignorant jivas, what type of lokas they are? That is described in the first line of the shloka. Te lokaha asuryaha nama. These 14 lokas are known as asura lokas. All these 14, all of them are called asura lokas. There is no devaloka at all here. All of them are asura lokas belonging to asuras. That means what? Even Devalokas are known as Asuraloka only here. Asuraloka means an inferior loka. It is not Asuraloka is Asuraloka or anything. It is an inferior loka. Devaloka is normally considered to be superior because that is what we all have heard. Devaloka is very superior. But the Upanishad says here, even they are also inferior lokas only. Then the next question will be what? How do you call Devaloka as an inferior loka or as an asura loka? Again, Shankaracharya only comes to our rescue. He says, Devaloka also is inferior because that also falls within samsara only. And that also, there also we have got sorrow, there is worry, there is anxiety. The difference is only what? In the proportion. There also there are devas, cabinet ministers are there, Agni, Varuna, they are all like cabinet ministers. And they have got a prime minister who is Indra. And when Agni, Varuna, etc., they look at Indra, he has got a special vahanam, Airavatam. So they are going to be jealous of him. He only can go on that. So when they say Indra, they also feel, I have only a Ford Escort. Whereas he has got maybe such a great Aston Martin or some other car like that. So there is also jealousy, hatred. All other ill feelings are also there, even in Devaloka. So Indra also, okay, if Indra, is he out of worry? No. Whenever somebody does this Ashwamedha Yaga, he is always worried. Because when somebody does 100 Ashwamedha Yagas, he will become the next Indra. Indra's position is all shattered. So he is always worried. So if he finds out somebody is trying to do some Ashwamedha Yaga, he immediately sends all these Tilottama, Ramba, Urvashi, all those people to destroy that Yajna. So that this person will be diverted and will not do the Yajna. So wherever there is duality, there is comparison. There is inferiority, superiority, jealousy, hatred, fear. So the Upanishad itself says, Bhishasmat vata pavate, Bhishodheti suryaha, Bhishasmat agnischendrascha, Mrityurdhavati panchama iti. It says, Yama, who frightens everybody, he himself is frightened. So Shankaracharya says, Swargaloka also is Dukkaloka only. Even though it is Swargaloka, because it is also Asuraloka. So moksha, from moksha standpoint, that's what you should say. From moksha standpoint, all the 14 lokas are inferior lokas only. Then the next question is, why is it so? The Upanishad itself gives the reason. Andhena tamasa avritaha. Andhena tamasa avritaha. All the 14 lokas are pervaded by, are engulfed by the blinding darkness. Blinding darkness. You know what an oxymoron. Andhena tamasa, blinding darkness. So it's another confusing word. What do we mean by this blinding darkness? We cannot find from a dictionary the meaning for all these things. So again, we have to need another Shankaracharya for that. He says, blinding darkness means Atma Ajnanam. Blinding darkness is nothing but Atma Ajnanam. Even though some of the lokas might be very brightly illumined, you go to Devaloka. Devaloka is all brightly illumined. Everything is so nice. But as far as Atma is concerned, even Swargaloka is dark only. Because none of those lights, whatever lights are there, electricity lights and all that, that cannot illumine Atma. Because they are all ignorance only. As an object covered by darkness, I cannot know. Similarly, Atma covered by ignorance cannot be known. That is why the devas are also in darkness, even though Devaloka is well illumined. How do we know that devas do not know the Atma? Because that's another question. How do we know that they do not have no Atma? Again, Shastras only will explain that. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Te tambuktva swargalokam vishalam, kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. If the devas had Atmajnanam, they would all have been liberated. But Gita says that all those people have enjoyed Swargaloka. When the punyam is exhausted, they will also come back. So, andhena tamasa. Not all the devas are ignorant, we should understand. There are some devas who also got self-knowledge. For example, Keno Upanishad. When we get a chance to do Keno Upanishad, we can see the story where self-knowledge is given by none other than Umadevi. Umadevi Haimavati, she gave self-knowledge to Agni, Indra and all those people. That is, but they are only a few people. Shloka number 4.
అనేజదేకం మనసో జవీయ నైనద్దేవ ఆప్నువన్ పూర్వమర్షత్ తద్ధావతోన్యానత్యేతి తిష్టత్ తస్మిన్న పోమాత రిష్వాదధాతి.
శ్లోక నంబర్ 4. ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక ఆత్మ అజ్ఞాన నింద వాస్ డన్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ ఆత్మ అజ్ఞానం కండమ్నేషన్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ అండ్ హౌ డస్ ద ఉపనిషత్ కండమ్ దాట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్ లీడ్స్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఫ్రమ్ సంసారా టు సంసారా ఓన్లీ వెన్ వీ సే దట్ హీ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బి ట్రావెలింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ లోకా టు ది అదర్ దట్ వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ మీన్ హీ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ వన్ సంసారా టు అనదర్ సో ఇట్ ఈస్ కండమ్డ్ సిన్స్ ఆత్మ అజ్ఞానం ఈస్ టు బి కండమ్డ్ వాట్ ఈస్ గ్లోరియస్ దెన్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు సీ ది అదర్ సైడ్ దర్ఫోర్ యూ షుడ్ ఆల్ గెట్ ఆత్మ జ్ఞానం విచ్ విల్ టేక్ యూ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ సంసార దట్స్ వాట్ ది ఉపనిషత్ టీచర్స్ అస్ అండ్ ద స్టూడెంట్ ఈస్ న్యాచురలీ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ నోయింగ్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ అండ్ బికాస్ దిస్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు టేక్ యూ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ సంసార వన్ విల్ బి ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ నోయింగ్ దాట్ అండ్ దాట్ ఆత్మస్వరూప వర్ణనం ఈస్ డన్ ఫ్రమ్ మంత్రాస్ 4 to 8 ఆత్మస్వరూప వర్ణనం description of atma swarupa the nature of atma is given from shlokas 4 to 8 and all these mantras are all very key mantras of isavasya upanishad 4 to 8 all these 5 mantras this is the core of isavasya upanishad very often quoted by all the acharyas and what is the theme nature of atma that is the theme very similar to bhagavad gita chapter 2 shlokas 12 to 25 if you people who attended those lectures they remember 12 to 25 so what is the description of atma The first word he uses is ekam. Your inner essence is ekaha. Atma tattvam ekam bhavati. Atma is non-dual, is one. Ekam means one. Then we may ask, how can that be so? There are so many others. How can there can be only one atma? There are so many other people I see. Then the Upanishad says, in dream also you see so many other people and things. And when you wake up, all are gone and resolved in you. There is no dream world other than the dream perceiver. I am the dreamer. There is no dream world other than myself. In the same way, Vedanta says, there is no waker's world other than the waking perceiver. Other than the waking perceiver, there is nothing like a waker's world. స్వప్న దృష్టృ వ్యతిరిక్త స్వప్న నాస్తి దర్ ఇస్ నో డ్రీమ్ వితౌట్ ది డ్రీమర్ అండ్ జాగ్రత్ దృష్టృ వ్యతిరిక్త జాగ్రత్ అవి నా జగ జాగ్రత్త అవి నాస్తి ఇన్ ద వేక్ఫుల్ స్టేట్ ఆల్సో అగైన్ ద పీపుల్ ద పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ అ వేకర్ దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్ సో బట్ ఇట్ అపియర్స్ రియల్ ఇన్ డ్రీమ్ ఆల్సో డ్యూరింగ్ డ్రీమ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ రియల్ అపియర్స్ రియల్ Appearance is not reality. So, the whole creation is in you only. As the entire dream is in the dreamer, the whole creation is in you only. This is the beginning of Vedanta. Already we have got enough confusion. So, this is the beginning of Vedanta which says, the whole world is in you. Then the Upanishad says, Anejata. This Atma is achalam, is nischalam, without any movement. Atma doesn't move. Why? Because it is all pervading. Akashavat. What is travel? Movement is travel. Travel means what? From a place where you are to a place where you are not. If you go there, that is called travel. Akashavat. Akasha also is ekam. And anejat. Achalam. Why achalam? An all pervasive thing cannot move from one place to another. It is present everywhere. Where it will go? So, this space example, it suits very well because even though space is only one, depending upon the enclosures, the space appears to be many. For example, if there is a pot, there is a pot space. If there is a room, there is a room space. There is an auditorium, there is an auditorium space. There is a needle space. Because Duryodhanas and all told, they will not even give a needle space of place to the Pandavas. So, a needle place. So, all those things are there. So, depending on what kind of space it is, there could be different enclosures, different spaces. Because of the enclosures, the space appears to be many. Similarly, Chaitanyam also appears to be many because of the plurality of the container. But really, Akasha is only one. Similarly, Atma also is Ekam, only one. Atma Sarvagataha, all-pervading. And we have to supply that here. It is not told here. So, Atma is Achalaha, does not move. Then, that is what Krishna said in the Gita also. Nitya Sarvagataha Sthanuhu Achaloyam Sanatanaha. Sarvagataha Sthanuhu. Therefore, Anejat. Then, Manasaha Javiyaha. This Atma is faster than even the mind. It moves faster. The mind is very well known as the fastest mover. For example, if you have to physically go from one place to another, even your nearest house or nearest place will take definitely some time, a few minutes at least. Suppose mentally you have to go, you might be instantly there. You might be already gone. So mind is faster even than light. If someone has to, you know, take Einstein's theory, and here the Upanishad says, Atma is faster even than the mind. Manasaha javiyaha. So already there is a complication. What is the first word? Anejate. And that which does not move, achalam. That's what we said earlier. Now manaso javiyaha, faster than mind, that's what we say. Now when we take these two, again there is a contradiction. How to address this? Again Shankaracharya comes to the rescue. He says, Manasaha javiyaha is only a figurative expression. We should add to that as though. As though we should add. Atma is as though faster than the mind. Then what is the idea conveyed here? The idea is Atma is all-pervading sarvagataha. That is figuratively presented here as manaso javiyaha. Not only that, if you look at the second line, devaha yenat na apnuvanna. All figurative experience again. Since the Atma Chaitanyam travels very fast, the sense organs are not able to catch up with them, with Atma. Sense organs are not able to catch up with Atma. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, we just concluded maybe about 2 lectures earlier. Nana Chitra Gadodara Sthita Mahadipa Prabhabhaswaram Jnanam Yasyatu Chakshuradhikarana Dwara Bahispandate. We saw that shloka there. The sense organs are traveling as it were to objectify what? Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, all the taste, smell, all those things to objectify all of them. And the sense organs are fast enough to catch hold of these 5 Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, Vishayas. And when the same sense organs run to catch hold of Atma, they fail. They themselves are very fast, sense organs are very fast. But they all fail if they have to catch up with Atma, because Atma is running faster even than the mind. So Devaha here in this particular line does not mean Indra and all those Devas. It is Devas here means Indriyani, the sense organs. Because the word Devaha is derived from the root Div. Divyati Prakashate Iti Devaha. That which is effulgent is sense organs. So, why they are considered effulgent? Because they are capable of illumining the sense objects. The eyes, they illumine the forms and colors. The ears, they illumine sound. So, they are illuminators. So, they are considered lights, luminous. And in Sanskrit, Devaha means luminous ones. So, in this context, Devaha means sense organs, not those Indra and Agni, Vayu and all those. Yenathu na apnuvan, they do not reach or catch hold of Atma. Why? Na apnuvan. Why? Purvam arshate. Because any place Atma reaches earlier than these sense organs. So there is a competition between sense organs and Atma. Atma already is there. So now only sense organs are still trying to reach. From this sentence, what is the philosophical significance that we have to take? We have to be careful. So it is, sense organs cannot catch hold of Atma. Mean what? Sense organ cannot objectify Atma. Sense organs cannot objectify Atma, which means Sarva Indriya Agocharam. Again, another Vedantic term, Sarva Indriya Agocharam, beyond all sense organs. That is the philosophical significance of this particular line. When we say Atma is faster than the mind, then the philosophical significance is what there? Mind also cannot objectify Atma. That is, Atma is Mano Agocharam. It is beyond mind, it is beyond sense organs. So Atma is Mana Indriya Agocharam is the philosophical significance of these particular two lines. This particular line. And the same idea is repeated in the third line also. Tat Anyan Atyeti. Tat Anyan Atyeti. Tat means Atma. Atyeti means overtakes, travels faster than. So Anyan, Anyan means all other organs in the form of mind and sense organs. It overtakes all of them. Davataha. Even though the sense organs and mind themselves travel faster, Atma is faster than all of them. Then another bombshell is put by the Upanishad. Next, it is faster and all that. And next bombshell is Tishtate. How Atma travels faster than all these? Remaining motionless. It is in one place. And remaining in one place, it is faster and beats all of them. In Buddhist philosophy, they call this as puons. Puons means statements which the intellect cannot normally comprehend. So this is something which cannot be comprehended by the intellect. According to them, buddhi is the problem. It gets stunned and stops functioning. The buddhi gets stunned and stops functioning, then enlightenment takes place, which they call it as satori. Satori or some katori, some term they have got. So enlightenment. But we need to explain here. It travels faster, remaining stationary means what? It is as though wherever mind and sense organs go, Atma is already there beforehand. That means Atma is all-pervading. There is no place that where Atma is not. That is the idea. It is Sarvagataha Atma. So the Sarvagatatvam, the all-pervasive nature of Atma is what is given here. And then the fourth line, Tasmin apaha matarishva dadati. In this line, the idea is what? It's not conveyed directly again, but in a confusing, circuitous way as usual. We will see the gist of that right now. We said Atma is ekaha. Atma is one. So ekaha, chaitanya surupaha, sakshi chaitanyam, all that we said. And everything else is anatma. Body, mind, they are all anatma. So body, mind, complex, the world, they are all anatma only. And we find that every anatma is jadaswarupam only, is inert matter. The entire world is jadam. Extending that principle, the body being anatma is also jadam. The mind being anatma is also jadam. Then is the entire anatma prapancha is also jadam. Then the question will come, how does the jada anatma prapancha functions in the world? They are all inert matter. How can they function in the world? Because this body is functioning as though it is Chetana Vastu. But I know that the body is a bundle of biochemistry only. All carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, all those that matter only. How does this bundle of chemicals function? That will be a mystery. For that, the Shastra gives the answer. The Anatma cannot function itself. But in the presence of Atma, blessed by Atma, the body-mind complex becomes sentient, becomes live, like a magnet which just remains in one place. All the iron filings around that, they all move towards it by the mere presence of the magnet. So the entire prapancha functions in the presence of Chaitanyam. And the activity, everything is done based on that. And for all their activity, what is the source of power? According to Shastras and our experience also, that Prana Tattvam is the source of all activities. If you remember Tattva Bodham, Prana is born out of what guna, what property? From the Samashti Rajo Guna of all the five elements, Prana is born. This is Tattva Bodham. People who have not attended those lectures, please refer to those lectures or notes in our website. So prana represents samashti kriya shakti. Samashti means total kriya shakti. At the individual level, at the vashti level, so samashti is total, vashti is individual. At the individual level, the kriya shakti is called prana. And at the total samashti level, the same kriya shakti is called by another name, called Hiranyagarbha or Vayu also. So mind stands for what? Mind stands for Ichcha Shakti. And Buddhi stands for what? Jnana Shakti. And the Prana stands for this Kriya Shakti. So the Pranamaya Kosha, that represents Kriya Shakti. Manomaya represents the Ichcha Shakti. And Vijnanamaya represents the Jnana Shakti. That means Hiranyagarbha represents all the powers of creation. And at the total level, if all the planets are moving around, how much power is required? We all know how much gas and power is required for us to run our car. Imagine how much energy is required to push the earth towards its dual motion. It is rotating around itself and also around the sun. Now imagine movement of whole solar system, the entire, all the galaxies. What do we get? You know, where they get the energy from? So these are all important questions to ask, where they will get the energy from for all their movements. Similarly, lightning, thunder, earthquakes, rain, all the at the macroscopic level, all due to Samashti Prana Shakti, Hiranyagarbha. At the individual level, at the Vashti level, the Prana Shakti is functioning where? My speech, when I talk for 1 hour now, that energy comes from where? That comes from there. Brain work to listen, for you to listen, same thing. So now the Upanishad says the Samashti Prana Shakti, the Samashti Kriya Shakti, or the Samashti Vayu Shakti, all these function only because of the blessings of Atma Tattvam. Themselves they are inert, and if they are functioning in an orderly manner, it is only because of the Atma Tattvam. So, in short, all the worldly activities, they take place only in the presence of Chaitanyam or Atma. This is the idea. But the Upanishad presents it as usual in a very peculiar language. Tasmin. Tasmin means in the presence of that Atma, the Chetana Tattva alone. Matarishva. Matarishva means Vayu. Vayu means Hiranyagarbha, Samashti Prana Shakti. So, Matarishva is Vayu. Vayu is Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is Samashti Prana Shakti or Kriya Shakti, or all natural powers are functioning when? Tasmin Sati. Therefore, Dadati. The natural forces function in manifold manner in the form of thunder, rain, lightning at macroscopic level, and functioning of the organs of action at the microscopic level because of that alone, that Atma alone. Therefore, Atma becomes that which blesses the Anatma, the body, spirit, blesses matter and not the other way. Spirit blesses the matter and not the other way. Shloka 5. Tadejati, tannayjati, taddure, tadvandike, tadandarasya sarvasya, tadusarvasyasya bahyataha. Again, nature of Atma is discussed here in a series of contradictions. Tad ejati, Atma moves. Tad ejati means chalati, Atma moves. In the previous shloka, it was said that it moves faster than even the mind. Manaso javiyaha. Then immediately next, the Upanishad says, Tat na ejati. Before even we can comprehend the first statement, the Upanishad says the Atma does not move at all. First it said it moves, now it says it does not move. Again a contradiction, how to resolve it? Atma really does not move, but Atma seemingly or apparently moves. Only we have to add the appropriate adverb. That's all we should do. Now the question is, how does this happen? Actually, Swamiji gives a lighthouse example. Normally, when we look at a lighthouse, I don't know how many have closely looked at it, we think that there are three sources of light because there are three beams which are rotating also when we see the lighthouse. But in reality, there is only one light source. Not only that, I am experiencing the movement of the light, but it does not move at all. A device is kept around the light source with three holes, and that device moves. It's like a cylindrical drum or something that moves. So, therefore, light ejati and light na ejati. So, because the device moves, it appears as though light moves, but light does not move. So, if you put it in the Vedantic language, sopadika drishtya ejati and nirupadika drishtya na ejati. Sopadika and Nirupadika. Upadi means what? Upadi means the medium. Here the device. So in presence of the device, light seems to move. That is Sopadika. In absence of the device, if you take the drum out, then it does not. So Nirupadika. So similarly, when the mind is in the body, I experience consciousness here. So if you remember the story of Shankaracharya, you know what he did? He transported his subtle body. So to another king's body. And after some time, his grass body was lying dead. The Sishyas were all taking care of it. Then after that, after some time, he transported his subtle body back into his original body and the king fell dead. So this is what is figured. This is a figurative story. Whether it happened or not, we don't know. So his body was lying unconscious and that of the king became conscious. So it appears as though the consciousness has traveled, but actually only the sukshma shariram, the subtle body, the mind, that alone has traveled. Not the body, the consciousness itself, but the subtle body only has traveled. So, tad yejati, tad na yejati. Tad dure, atma is far away. And tadu antike, atma is nearby also. How is it possible? It can be very far and very near. Again, Shankaracharya says, for an ajnani, atma is farther than the farthest. Because however much he will travel, he will not be able to find atma. Whereas for the wise person, atma is nearer than the nearest. Because I am the atma. When I am the atma, when I understand the atma, it is not even as far as the physical body. It is not available in swapna and sushupti avastha. Physical body is not. It's all dissolved. In the dream world and in deep sleep, physical body is resolved. But atma is myself. That is the third contradiction. Atma is the one which is as sakshi, remains in and through all the three states of consciousness. So, tad asya sarvasya antaha. That is the third contradiction. Atma is within everything. That is why people say, you have to look within. Always they say, you have to look within. Atma is within. But the Upanishad says, tad sarvasya bahyataha. It is outside of everything also. That means it is both within and without. That means what? It is everything. It is within and without means what? It is everything. So chidrupena is available within and satrupena it is available without. Chidrupena means what? As awareness. As awareness, it is available within and as existence, satrupena, it is available without. For example, when you close your eyes and look within and say your mind is blank, you go on thinking, and finally you empty all the thoughts. Mind is now blank. That's what you say. So we say there is nothing in the mind and mind is blank. When you say that, the Vedantin says, don't say there is nothing. That nothingness is known to you by the consciousness principle only, which is the Chit Tattvam alone. So the Chit Tattvam alone tells you that your mind is blank. When you open your eyes, what we experience, we say the trees are there, the car, all those things are all there. We see so many things, the friend, the farthest star, all those things we see. So in the form of the very existence principle, the Atma is available. So in the form of awareness principle, it is within. And in the form of existence principle, it is without. So chitrupena antaha, satrupena bahicha. Atma tattvam sarvada upalabhyate. So that is why jnani is not particular about opening or closing his eyes. Because he is ever reveling in Atma. Regardless of opening or closing the eyes, Atma is ever evident to him. So pratibodha viditam madam. It is within and it is without. Atma is everywhere. And that is this shloka, which is a very, very interesting shloka, often quoted all these shlokas, as I told. These are all very important core shlokas of Isavasya Upanishad. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya yaparasa maheshwaraha Shri Krishna Atma Namastu Namastu.